I don't want my daughters taking care of me when I get older. The other thing is, I like the way I look on the outside, and I don't want to be a crazy old lady who thinks I look good standing in the drugstore to get my dementia medicine with a poopy diaper and no one told
Yeah,
me.
totally.
Right?
Welcome to the show where we help you make smart nutrition simple. If you want proven nutrition strategies to help you build a better body and create the energy to show up for your family without overly restrictive and unrealistic dieting, then you're in the right place. Make sure to subscribe and enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Smart Nutrition Made Simple Show. I'm your host, as always, Ben Brown, owner and head coach here at Body Systems, a virtual health and fitness coaching company that helps you change your belief system around what it means to be healthy, because we believe that your health determines your freedom. And today on the show, I'm excited to introduce you to my friend Adrian Smith. Adrian is a mechanical engineer turned longevity and peak performance specialist. She has 34 certifications and more than 26 years of experience spanning strength training, corrective exercise, bodywork, nutrition, and longevity. And for the past 16 years, Adrian has owned a training facility catering to a diverse clientele, from athletes to seniors and everything and everyone in between. Now, in today's conversation, we chop it up about our mutual connection with strength sensei Charles Poliquin, a major mentor of mine and, of course, hers, and the pivotal role that he played in both of our lives. We unpack Adrian's journey from mechanical engineer to prominent figure in the strength and fitness community, and how a childhood accident inadvertently changed the trajectory of her life and her career. We also spend a chunk of time talking about longevity and how Adrian wants to die sexy, which to her means living as long and healthy of a life as possible and ultimately passing away looking jacked. I think that's a reasonable goal for all of us. More specifically, we talk about new research on peptides and bioregulators in reversing the age of your DNA, the massive role that the gut plays in everything from how you absorb nutrients and hormone production to your brain function and skin appearance. And we talk about gluten and whether or not you should be eating it. Finally, Adrian provides practical tips you can implement right now to empower you on your unique path towards health and ultimately vitality. And so without further ado, here's my conversation with Adrian Smith. Adrian Smith, welcome to the Smart Nutrition Made Simple show. How are you?
I am great, Ben. How are you? Thank you for the invite.
Thanks for coming on. I'm happy to chop it up, excited to chop it up. We've been in this kind of similar network for years and years, and I know we're acquaintances via Charles Poliquin, who's been a huge mentor of mine, and I know yours as well, but we've never really had the opportunity to get to know each other very much. And so this is like, listen, this is one of my favorite things about having a podcast is gives me a really easy barrier to entry opportunity to just have conversations with great people like you. So welcome. Thanks for coming and happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. Yes, the Charles Poliquin patch. I love that. There's
7 degrees.
Oh my goodness. And you know what? If it wasn't for Coach, I don't think I would go be down all the different avenues that I've been down with the human body, because he was an array of information. And I think people knew him as a strength coach, but there was so much more to him. So I got to little dribbits he would give you, little nuggets. And then I would just keep researching and researching and researching. And it was just fantastic.
I think he was a masterful connector at the end of the day. And I don't know whether he realized it or not, but like I said, 7 degrees of Charles Poliquin is like, I don't know if it's just by virtue of like all the seminars and courses and the power of being in a community with people in person when we still did those things or what have you, but he's helped create some tremendous connections for me, and I'm sure for you as well. Well, let's take a step back from CP, and for those listening that don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about you and kind of what you do and kind of how you got started.
I started off as a mechanical engineer for the automotive industry, and somehow, did. And the interesting thing is, I was, this is 20 some years ago, 26 years ago. One of the only females doing it, very young, it was a man's industry. So I kind of got a little fed up with that, you know?
I imagine it's still a man's industry.
You know, not as much. There's a lot more women doing it, and the laws have changed, so there's a lot of things that can't be done and said.
Okay, fair.
But like I said, at the time, I was the only one doing it, and it, lo and behold, I end up in the strength community of, again, a man's industry. But this one I love enough, Ben, that I'm digging my heels and I'm staying. So my path started with I was in a gym. I'm a small girl. I wanted to be bigger. Body fat wasn't it, so I wanted muscle. Started training, injured my back.
How
Long
old were
story
you
short.
when you started training?
Actually, I wasn't, I was about 22 when I started training.
Was this post college? Were you in the engineering space at the time?
I was in the engineering space at the time. Yeah. So I, you know, it was the guys in the tool room because when I was an engineer, I did everything from programming the CNC machines to design work to buying the steel to buying the tools. Like it was crazy. So I did a lot of stuff there. So we were just going to the gym and man, I'll tell you, I hit that gym and it was like the clouds parted and I was like, I'm home.
Yeah.
So it was cool. And what was kind of cool with working with the guys is naturally I'm strong, but I never would have known that, I don't think, if I would have trained with women, right?
Right.
No offense, but especially back then, it was
Well,
like,
especially 20 years ago or whatever.
yeah, it was like 5 pounds, do some band work, jazzercise class. I
Yeah.
mean, that was so not my personality, as you can tell. So, you know, I was lucky enough to work out with them, and I don't know, it just it kind of evolved, and depending on how deep you want to go, this literally is my life path. Like it's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's crazy how you accidentally stumble into it,
Yeah.
get pushed into it, however you want to look at it, you know? So I was hit by a car when I was 6 and I had scoliosis and didn't know it. I was never diagnosed with it. It was crazy. I was an inch and a half higher on the right side.
The scoliosis developed from the muscle imbalances that
From the
were a product.
structural, the
Yeah.
impact itself, you know, you get into the fascial lines, you get into
Yeah.
the musculature,
Got
you
it.
get into the protecting that I did at 6 years old,
Yeah,
right?
sure.
So I was doing a Romanian deadlift. I had 185 pounds on there at like 97 pounds, you know, I'm doing this and I'm like, all right, I should probably stop at 13, but I had to get to 15. You know how it is. Come on, we can't put the bar
Right.
down.
15 at
So
what did you say?
185 pounds.
185?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I
For
mean,
95
it's
pounds.
not impressive now, but back then it was
No,
impressive.
right.
Now I'm like 185. What is that, child's play?
Yeah, 95 pounds. That's incredible.
Yeah. So I ended up rotating my SI joint, ended up in chiropractic office. Engineering kicked in when I saw my x-ray and it was like long, short, long. How do the muscles go? What do they do? What exercise do I create to put my spine back? Okay. So about 3, 4 years into my studies with that, I found accidentally Palchik. So he became the corrective exercise person for me
Yeah.
for about 7 years.
That was my introduction into this world as well, which
Oh my God, that's so cool.
is super interesting. But yeah, I
Yeah.
started studying with Paul Check before Poliquin. I think Check was the introduction for a lot of people into Poliquin, but because Check learned so much from Charles. And I did like their golf biomechanics. It was like
Yes.
my first course. I think it was like 2006. So I was like 1 year removed from graduate school. And it was just like, yeah, it opened my eyes to this whole nother world because I'd been in academia for my entire life. And it just opened me up to this entire different way of thinking about things, nutrition, health and fitness, mindset, all that kind of stuff. So that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think by the time the golf one came out, which I too took, I had already taken scientific core, back, shoulder. I've done the four doctor quadrant one. I've done the golf one. I mean, so how I ended up finding Charles through him was I'm like, okay, I've done them all. What's left? Well, the only thing left was program design. So I took the course. I'm like, why are they talking about this Charles Poliquin guy, but he's not teaching it, right? So here's a funny story. I'm calling Atlantis, right? The equipment, the gym equipment, Atlantis. And at this time, I hadn't met Charles yet. This was forever ago. 2000 and, I got, let me think, 2007-ish. I'd already done all the check stuff. And I'm talking to Yogi at the time. And I'm saying something about Charles. You know, I'm like, you know, I've heard about your equipment through this Charles Poliquin. And he goes, oh, he's here. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, you would have thought it was like a rock star. I'm like, wait, he's there. Can I talk to him? No, I don't want to talk to him. Can I talk to him? No, I don't want to talk to him. So that's kind of how I actually talked to Charles the first time, which was kind of cool. And then he started doing the seminars. Like I became more familiar with the seminars. So I started traveling, doing all that. Funny story is the first time I go to a live in-person seminar with Charles, I'm like, okay, do not cuss, right? Like you can't cuss, Adrian, don't cuss. So I sit right in front of the front seat. I'm like, I'm going to collect all this information, right? I did not come here for nothing. And he starts talking and I'm like, yes, I can cuss.
That's yes, you most certainly can.
It so was relieving to me. So needless to say, I basically stuck my head up Charles's ass at that point, and it was just like everything and anything that he mentioned or talked about, which led me down the path of, so now corrective exercise, now I'm a strength coach, now I do functional medicine, I do longevity and peak performance. I'm a gut specialist, I'm a brain specialist. So, oh, and I do nine modalities of body work at this point.
So yeah, you're certainly a jack of all trades and certainly a specialist in all of those, I imagine, just knowing you. And so with all of that, like obviously you've been doing this for so long, you're so experienced, you have so much education around it. Like, what are the types of clients that you typically work with?
I'm going to be honest. I have clients that I actually, this is going to sound weird, but I treat them in the womb. So my youngest client was literally a fetus. Okay. My oldest client is 84. She's been with me for 20 years. She still snatches and cleans and box jumps. And, she's amazing. She's on zero medication. She's never had, knock on wood, any injuries as far as like torn muscles or like nothing, to be honest with you. So, I work from everything from gen pop to pro athletes, and pretty much anything in between because of me being able to do so much different things with the body. Sometimes they just end up on my table getting, work done, professional athletes. And the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, dude, like, where's your magnesium? Where's your zinc levels at? Like, are you hydrated? Because this is not a muscle thing, So it just opens the door for more things. So a lot of my clients, come to me for one thing and end up coming for all of it.
Got it. You mentioned longevity, and I know that's something that you express that you're really passionate about. So help me understand more about, like, what does longevity mean to you? What does it mean for your clients? How are we addressing longevity, right now?
Okay, well, right now, generally speaking, I mean, you guys, we've all had access to people like Ben Greenfield and all them. So we can look at that as longevity and say there's a lot more information coming out about peptides now. And even though there's some gray area in that, right? There's still ways around that. So you've got everything. Well, I mean, let's be real. The first thing is going to be eating clean. I'm sorry, this whole calorie in, calorie out, to me, it's eating clean.
Just so we're clear, because I'm with you on this whole spectrum, and excited to talk about it. But just so like we're setting the stage, when we talk about longevity, my thought process is lending itself to like, how do we live the longest, most healthy, most quality of life possible? Right. And I think that probably for our listeners, certainly for me and you, like this has been a really big mindset shift for me over the last several years, especially after turning 40. You know, I'm 44 now, but I'll be honest in saying I just think a lot has changed in terms of my perspective. You know, I think there was a lot more aesthetic aspirations pre-40. Now it really becomes a lot more, how do I just live my best life? How do I continue to show up in the best way possible? I genuinely want to be able to live a long and healthy life and be happy and active, you know, for my family and for my community. And so when I think of longevity, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Is that kind of what we're discussing?
That's exactly it. My whole career has been based on health. Okay. To me, if you are healthy inside, you look good naked. Okay. I'm older than you. I've been down all kinds of paths. I lift really heavy. You've seen me train. I've had no injuries, knock on wood, even with the scoliosis, fixing that. So to me, if you, I always say this, I mean, I'll tell you a little bit of my story. I raised two children by myself. Okay. Completely by myself. I was 17 years old when I had my first child. So for me, there was no mom, dad, aunt, uncle, brother, cousin, father, nobody to rely on. It was me. So I didn't have time to be sick. Okay. Because I had to go to work because I needed to provide for my family. I didn't have time for my children to be sick because there was no babysitter. We had to go to school. We had to go to daycare. Okay.
Right.
So it started instinctually almost for me at a very young age with, this is where I want to be. Now I look at it like this, and you have children, so you'll maybe appreciate this. I don't want my daughters taking care of me when I get older.
Totally.
Okay. The other thing is I like the way I look on the outside, and I don't want to be a crazy old lady who thinks I look good standing in the drugstore to get my dementia medicine with a poopy diaper and no one told me.
Yeah, totally.
Right? So, you know, my podcast is called Die Sexy. And that's what I think about. Like, I tease and say, listen, when I die, I want to be, what is the autopsy from the backside so that you can put me in my casket, in my posing bikini suit, looking jacked in my coffin. Okay. And I also don't want to die or, you know, get closer to death and be sick. Okay. I don't want to not know my children. I don't want to not know my loved one.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I always say I will give up my body for my brain. And I think if you take care of your brain, you take care of your gut, you take care of everything else, your body's going to look good on the outside. So longevity to me is health. Longevity to me is I want to either, listen, there's two ways I want to die. I either want to cut my grass and sit down and not wake up,
yeah,
or I want to have the best orgasm of my life, roll over and not wake up. Like, let's be real. Okay.
Touché.
Right. But you can't do that if you've got like bags attached to you and you've got heart issues and you don't know who you are and what's happening. Like, so to me, that's longevity. It's being as healthy for as long as possible, fighting off as many diseases as I can so that I can choose the way I want to go out.
100%. No, I love that. And, you know, I hear that a lot more, again, like the perspective shift for me. I mean, I hear it more and more day to day with our clientele, especially kind of the 40 plus population, of coming to that realization because we have aging parents. And gosh, I'm with you in terms of saying, like, I don't want to babysit my parents. And I know, as you know, when I get to their age, when I'm in my 70s and 80s and beyond, I certainly do not want my kids babysitting me or, God forbid, wiping my ass or something like that. I can't imagine anything worse. And I've seen it with my grandparents. Seeing it with my parents, things have to change. And with the baby boomer generation, I think a lot of us now in our 30s and 40s and have that realization, like, holy shit, if I don't make changes, like, I'm going to be in the exact same position. And so you started talking about, of course, the foundational principles around nutrition. And so we can certainly talk about those. But I also want to talk about the things that you think might be either misunderstood, might be lesser known aspects of longevity. I would love to talk about peptides. If you feel like that's a big important component, like the things that you really feel are the most important beyond the obvious.
So I would say things like making sure your body's functioning well. So we can talk about peptides, like I said, because there's many peptides that are known to keep you healthy. They're not about adding muscle.
Yep.
I think some people, especially Gen Pop, might confuse them with things like anabolics, which they're not, especially
right,
because most of them are in injectable form. They're coming out with new ones now. There's because of the injectable situation. You know, you have C-Lank and C-Max, which are nasal sprays, amazing for the brain. Works on two different sides of the brain. One is going to add gray matter, synapses reconnection. The other one deals with things like PTSD, anxiety, depression, but in a sense of healing the brain part of it. Okay. So for instance, I work with my client's DNA as well as their gut biome to determine how I'm going to use the peptides, which peptides I'm going to use, what bioregulators I'm going to use. Those are the new things that are coming around. So if I'm looking at somebody that is genetically anxious, right? That's a thing. I cannot treat her for anxiety or him for anxiety, right? But if I can get their brain to fire correctly, get the neurotransmitters to work better, how much more regulated is that person going to be? So again, for me, it's root. It's root. What is the actual cause of the symptom that you're having? That when you start reversing that and working with your body, you have no choice but to get healthier. You have no choice but to provide. So I'll give you an example. I had a young girl that did a DNA test with me. She's 21 years old. She came back with the susceptibility for type 2 diabetes, heart disease, as far as the heart itself, as well as her blood vessels, dementia, and she was a power lifter, genetically a power lifter. Like that was like, I'm like, yes. But I said, okay, you're 21 years old. How much do you want to do this? Well, luckily her parents were like, let's do it. So she's on the pancreas bioregulator, she's on the thalamus and the pituitary gland bioregulator.
Talk to us about what are bioregulators?
Okay, so this is cool. This is newer to the United States, of course. Bioregulators, peptides are multiple chains of amino acids. Like, for instance, HDH is 191 chain aminos, amino chains, right? Bioregulators are under four. So
Okay.
whereas growth hormone, BPC, TB, CLANG, CMAX, any of those, they're going to work a lot more with different things in the
Like
body.
more
They have a,
globally, and they're
you got
more
it.
secreting agents, right?
Right. Because they have more amino,
Signaling agents, I should say.
yes, more signaling. So they're going to open the door for other pathways for things to happen. Bioregulators, with them being four aminos or less, they target the exact organ that you want them to. And these are in capsule form. Now, what's really cool, what people don't realize is these aminos, peptides, bioregulators, they are chains of food. They're pieces of food. They're food molecules. So again, food heals. But what they do is they pull out the most important part, they narrow it down, they break it down. So if you think about bioregulators, you can say, okay, for instance, armor, right? That is a more natural way of dealing with the thyroid. Okay. Now, I'm going to argue the fact that it's never your thyroid, but that's another conversation.
Okay, for sure.
So, armor is the thyroid gland of a pig. Okay. So, as we know, we've heard through carnivore diets and eating the organs of the animal, it's going to help whatever organ you're consuming, so on and so forth. And that's kind of what they've done, except they've actually taken those very specific aminos out. Okay.
So they're like
So,
glandulars in the
they.
supplement industry, but sounds like a little more specific.
But on steroids,
Yeah,
right?
okay.
Yes. So they're like jacked. Okay. So yeah, you take these and they actually go exactly to what you're using it for. And what's cool is they're also adding age to your life, right? Not just in the health so that you're preventing certain diseases from being expressed as you age, but also adding length on by having you repair your body. They have them for the muscle. I'm on that one. When these got started, it was 50 years ago in Russia. And the military there had their guys were sitting next to these nuclear plants and nuclear missile things underground under the water. So they contacted this scientist and said, "Hey, we want to save our guys." He created these and they also use them in the Olympics. When the team comes back, they give them bioregulators to help them repair and to heal. Okay? They're natural.
Yeah.
So they're not taking anything bad, you know what I mean? So interestingly enough, there was an American skier. Okay, you guys have heard of testing your biological age versus your gene age,
Yeah.
chromium age, right? So she was 31 at the time. Her age came back as a 51-year-old, right? Because we forget that working out and training
Yeah,
is
just
also a
stress,
stressor.
wear and tear, lifestyle is you're essentially shortening your lifespan through all of those stressful
Right.
components, right?
Right. Exactly. Plus, you got to remember she's in the mountains, altitude, things like that. So, needless to say, in 2 years, her methylation of her gene expression went from 51 to 33, even though she was not 33. She was still a little younger.
Got it.
So, it's all of healing the body, giving the body what it needs to support itself. So, again, longevity is looking at health prevention of aging disease.
Yeah. And it's what sounds cool is like obviously we're factoring in obvious nutrition and lifestyle and sleep and exercise and movement components. But on top of this, now we have more scientifically supported and specific components that, as I'm hearing it, can really help you. It's almost like improving your DNA. What is it like, your telomere length? You're basically restructuring your DNA.
Well, telomere length is different. That would be a different peptide, and they have those as well. But we're actually talking about the methylation of your genes, right?
Okay.
So this is taking it to another level. And what's really cool is for many years now, I've been using the gut biome of my clients, as like I said, as well as the DNA. Well, what's really cool is now there's companies putting the two together in one test. Okay. The big reason why is, your gut biome, your gut microbiome, I should say,
Right.
is going to help gene expression. Okay. So I don't think maybe people don't even realize this, but even in order to produce and use testosterone correctly, there has to be a certain
Yeah.
microbacteria in the gut.
Hey guys, I want to interrupt this conversation briefly with an exciting announcement. If you're a father and struggling to lose the pounds that have crept on over the years, I understand your challenge. You're juggling a successful career, a loving family, and now you're looking to regain that energy and physique that seems to have slipped away. And that's exactly why I created PrimeFit Operating System. PrimeFit OS is a unique hybrid coaching program designed specifically for men like you. Now, you guys know me, we're not about quick fixes or impossible routines. Instead, we focus on real sustainable change through personalized nutrition and science-driven strength training, all wrapped up in a supportive community with expert guidance directly from me and my 20 years of experience working with men just like you. Imagine mastering your nutrition without restrictive dieting, getting stronger and leaner, and boosting your overall energy, all without overwhelming your already busy schedule. With PrimeFit OS, you're getting more than just a cookie-cutter nutrition and fitness plan. You're embarking on a transformative journey that fits into your life, not the other way around. So, if you're ready to take the first step towards a healthier, leaner, stronger, more energetic, confident, ass-kicking you, join us over at PrimeFit Operating System. Trust me, guys, your family, your career, and most importantly, you will thank you for it. So, if you guys are interested in getting started and want to find out more about the program, let's chat. Just head over to primefitos.com/call and grab a time on my calendar. Remember, it's your time to be at your prime. Well, let's roll into, because I know what a profound role the gut plays in everything that we're discussing in health in general, and certainly in longevity. And I know you're such a good person to be able to speak to this. So let's talk the role in gut health. You're mentioning this gut microbiome. Like, what is it that you're referring to? And let's talk a little more specifically in terms of the longevity or even signaling hormones and brain health and all that.
Yeah, we can talk something as simple as just the gut lining. Okay, the gut lining has so many little circuits and electricity. I think of it as electricity, right? Something as simple as having leaky. So I don't know if you knew this, but 6 hours after a head trauma, you have leaky gut. Not to mention eating emulsified filled foods. Not to mention if you've had any kind of, even if we consider them a safe bacteria or parasite or pathogen, okay? If they start to overgrow, which they will in time if you don't take care of it, they can break down that gut permeability. Gut permeability breakdown is going to equate to brain permeability as well. So now we've got a breakdown there. If you talk about the vagal nerve stimulation, that not only gets rid of bad bacteria, but also keeps good bacteria where it is. Okay. So the brain and the gut talk to each other all day long. If you take something as simple as producing leptin in the brain, the CCK transmitters are down here in the gut. If your gut lining can't pick up what's in your gut to tell your brain to shut off the hunger hormone, right? And I don't think people take time to consider that. It's like a computer system, it needs to be signaled. And if you don't have that, those connections, it won't happen. Then you look at the actual bugs inside of your fish tank. All
Right.
right. I like to look at it that way. I mean, yeah, you can address the fish in your fish tank, but if you have water going all over your living room floor, it doesn't matter. So the first thing you have to do is seal up the tank. Seal up that gut lining. Make it strong. That goes from everything from peptides to, as you know, glutamine, aloe vera juice. I mean, you can go down all kinds of pathways as far as that goes. Changing your food intake. Okay. So once you get that sealed up and that's kind of where it needs to be, now you start to look at what's really in there. You know, what good bacteria do you have? What bad bacteria do you have? What's the balance of the two and the array of it? Okay. I think when you look at it, like people say to me, because I am allergic to beef and chicken. I have been forever and a day.
All right.
I think it's who I am. But, and I don't eat meat from a grocery store. However, I eat 29 sources of animal. And it's like, people think because I live the way that I do that I have such a small diet. I'm like, dude, I have a bigger diet than anybody else because I get to eat so many different things. And I love food. Inside, I'm 600 pounds. I love food, right? I love the taste of it. I love to enjoy spices and herbs and, I get bored fast too. Like a salad boring. I got it, dude. I gotta have like 10,000 things in a salad in order to be happy. That's why I like cookies and not cake, because I want different different flavors, right? So I am, the more you can feed your gut, the better. Also respecting the clock system of the gut. All right. Believe it or not, depending on the time of day as well as the season we're in, different bacteria are going to be more, we'll call it active during those cycles. So respecting that also is going to play a part in the expression of genes as well as the type of bacteria that you have inside of your gut.
It's such a huge factor in our health. One of the things that stood out to me is certainly the gut-brain connection. And we talk so much around, calorie intake and food choices and managing hunger and satiety. But at the end of the day, a lot of that is relegated to the, like as you're saying, the type and population of the gut bacteria as those regulators, right? And
Yeah,
it's
and if you have an overgrowth, Ben,
right.
you literally will have malabsorption. Okay. Things like oral contraceptives for women, and at this point, I'm going to say pretty much any contraceptive, hormonal contraceptive, causes imbalance in the gut. The other thing and it's interesting, I don't know if you've paid attention to the news lately, but even during COVID, CDC came out with this thing about, candida, the super candida. Well, it's not that it's super candida and you can't kill it. It's just that it's so prevalent in people nowadays and it's gotten smarter because in case we didn't know, we really, you wipe out the bacteria. Let's say this, as a human being, if I were to take all of the bacteria out of your gut, you're going to die. Okay. You can't live like that. So this, what's happening is this bacteria and these parasites and pathogens and everything are getting so smart. Molds. Oh my goodness. Funguses. They create this biofilm. So what happens is this biofilm is there and it's like this plastic coating and you're like trying to get to it and it's like, dude, you can't get to me, So you have to understand that there's this biofilm, you got to break down the biofilm, you got to get in there, then you can destroy it, if you will, to some extent. Not everything's going to come out. But if you have these overgrowths, I mean, there's a bacteria in your mouth you can have that's an overgrowth that actually causes your gut to malabsorb carbohydrates, for instance. I mean, that's a big thing. I don't care if it's, you have other ones that'll stop you from breaking down fat. You'll have other ones that will stop you from absorbing protein if they're in there. And I'm not talking about being deficient. I'm talking about having an overgrowth of what they call communal, right? Which means it doesn't hurt the human body if it's in there, but if it becomes overgrown because you're missing a family of lactobacillus, you're missing a family of bifidobacteria, then all of a sudden it's this imbalance and you're not even absorbing the food properly. So, I mean, you can go really deep with this stuff.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Obviously, and
so
it's such
cool.
good information, and frankly, I think, it's so relevant, but I don't want it to be too overwhelming
Sure.
for our audience. And so I think because we touched on peptides, we touched on bioregulators, and there's obviously a place for those with respect to longevity. We obviously need to above and beyond, I think it's fair to say above and beyond everything else is we need to focus on gut health, you know, especially for longevity, but right, anything. Because if our gut's not functioning, our brain's not functioning, and we're certainly not going to live a long time, nor are we going to look good or feel good, frankly. Yeah. And so I guess just some applicable action steps, and doesn't certainly need to be too watered down, but what do you see on a daily basis that you think, you know, you mentioned the birth control for women as being a major obstacle. What do you see as being the biggest, I don't know, the biggest things that, you know, make the difference that is people can implement right away to help them at least start to improve, if not identify with their gut health?
Yeah, that's crazy because it's, unfortunately, I think people nowadays don't even know they feel bad, right? Yeah. So we got to make them feel good first. And you don't want to guess, you know, and that's one thing that I get livid about is I went to the store and I bought this probiotic and mm-hmm. I'm taking this probiotic and it's helping me, but I don't know. And, you know, so many people are jumping on the gut health bandwagon and they're giving people or recommending probiotics and things like that. For the last couple of years, and I used to say this forever ago, so again, something I'm glad that's coming along is gut print. They call the gut print. And they're saying that everybody's gut is specific to them as your thumbprint.
Yeah.
Okay. So understanding that, you know, lactobacillus, we hear about that. We hear about bifidobacteria. We hear about, I mean, those are pretty much the two that you hear regularly, even from a doctor, right? There's thousands of strains of them.
Right.
And getting very specific. So now they're literally pulling them to you. So if you're talking about a person that says, you know, I don't really feel good. Listen, going to the bathroom regularly is a thing. You should not have loose stool, nor should be constipated on and off. Not good. Brain fog, IBD, IBS. Yes, those are symptoms of, could even be a parasite. I actually did a post on that today. So if you have anything that you don't wake up in the morning, joint pain, muscle pain, inflammation.
Skin irritation.
Yeah. Eczema is not normal, right? Dry skin in the winter, severely dry skin in the wintertime is not normal. Dandruff is not normal. Toe funguses, jock itch, those are not normal. Okay. I don't care what your doctor says. If any point in time you're just not feeling right, if you really want to know, find a practitioner that's going to take the time to do the proper testing to see what's going on in your gut. And like I said, so many new things are coming out now. And that way, you know exactly how to treat you. You can even start with something as simple as a food allergy test. Okay. Because most humans have food sensitivities. We won't call it a full blown out allergy. We'll call it a sensitivity due to an imbalance in the gut, right? Yeah. An imbalance even. Maybe you're not able to break down that food properly because you don't have the good bacteria that you need or something else is going on. Certain pains in certain areas, like H. pylori, for instance, sits right above the belly button, right? Some people complain after a while, like, oh, I've got this pain right above my belly button. Go get it checked. You know, oh, I've got GERD. I've got heartburn. Not probably not. Go probably get tested not. For SIBO. Go get That's tested right. for SIFO, right? There's another, like the ileocal valve, which is between the belly button and the hip bone. You can kind of look right along the, I guess, the psoas line, if you guys want to look and see where that is. But basically between the belly button, I'll go this way, the hip bone and the belly button right in there where the ileocal valve is. If you press on that and you have pain, that could be SIBO, right? Yeah. Because that means that small intestinal bacteria is so overgrown that it's causing a blockage, which causes inflammation there.
What's your go-to, like, number one test for gut health?
Comprehensive stool test with parasites. Yeah, that one I like a lot because they don't just look under the microscope, but they put it aside and let it grow for a few days because there's a lot of people that under the microscope won't show anything. And then a few days later, it will actually grow in
so
the dish.
Then what are we assessing with that? Obviously parasites, then we're looking at
yeast, candida. Candida overgrowth. Yep.
Of bacteria, good, both good and bad.
Yep.
And the ratios. Right.
Yeah. They'll give you a ratio. They'll be like a good and a bad. I mean, and let's be real. I'm going to be honest with everybody. There is no 1000%, 100% even way of testing the gut. Because when you do a stool sample, you're getting what's in the colon. You do a breath test.
Yeah, and even parasites can hide, right? They can dig themselves down into the
Intestinal wall.
intestinal lining, and you need certain things to get them to come out 100%.
Now I like to give a protocol before I have clients do it, especially if they've been on medication. And the other thing is, I've been doing this a long time. I have great questionnaires, but I call them my spider senses. Dude, I can look at you. I can just ask you what you crave in a day and be like, yep, here's what we got. But I've been doing this a long time,
Yeah.
right? So for me, it becomes not proving it to myself that I can't treat it, but clients, I like. For me, a lot of, I mean, as you can tell, I talk a little bit differently. So they're like, you're crazy.
No,
You're
it's good.
just
You're matter of
crazy.
fact.
Yeah. So I like to give them something to see so that they know I'm not crazy, right? But if there's a little bit of a protocol that you can do to kind of start getting the biofilm that I talked about earlier down. So you kind of take their guard down a little bit
Yeah.
so that sometimes after that point, the client or the person can actually pass some of those parasites. Now, I have a funny story. It's not funny in the end, but it's good now. I had a client on my table. His dad, he was a football player. I was treating I think he had a high ankle sprain at the time. His dad was sitting down and he's like, man, he's talking about this girl and her belly and whatever. And I said, well, it was a friend of his. And I said, well, I can take a look at it if you want. And I can already sense what it is. And he says, well, it's on social media, so I guess she doesn't care if I show you. He turns the phone around. She's got this pregnant belly. And I said, how many concussions has she had? And when was the last time she was out of the country? He's like, how the hell did you know that? I said, well, I don't know anything yet. He goes, she's an MMA fighter. And she was just in Aruba. Not to mention, she jumps out of airplanes for a living. And I said, okay. I said, she's got a parasite. He's like, there's no. I said, listen, that's a parasite. They had diagnosed her at 31 years old as being premenopause, and that was
Yeah.
her problem. Okay. So we did a stool test. We did a couple other things. It wasn't showing up. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I know it's in there. So I sent her home with curcumin and black pepper at the time. And I said, don't do anything until I tell you what to do. Okay. I accidentally said 2-to-1 ratio. However, she didn't know what that meant. So she did not wait for me. She went home, got excited. She put half the bag of pepper to the whole bag of curcumin. She took it. It burned her from the inside out for about 4 days, like
Ouch.
skin, eyes, like she was in pain. And I'm like, there's nothing you can do but drink water. The good thing that happened out of that is it burned that little fucker right out of her intestinal wall. Parasite showed up. She was able to be treated. Right? So we never want to do that. But I'm just saying, to go along with what you said, I mean, if you put, there's a lot of pathogens, molds, funguses, parasites that are, how should I say, sensitive to things like, oregano oil, thyme,
Yeah.
lemon balm. However, you put that on your tongue, they're so smart that they can sense it immediately and they will start to hide. So that's why for me, if I have a client that I really know something's going on, but I know their lifestyle, I know they've been eating bad food, I know they've had this for a while, and I know that bacteria is going to be stubborn, I will actually give them a protocol to break down the biofilm first. Give them some foods, clean up their diet a little bit to actually almost force it to be passed out, right? So that when we get that test, something shows up enough to me that I know how to treat it.
That's super interesting. I love hearing that, and I'm certainly intrigued. And so I question for you, because I've been having a couple conversations around this. So in your experience, how offensive is gluten to the vast majority of people, especially like in the US?
I mean, I don't care if you have celiac or not. Gluten is going to eat your gut and wall. It's going to break down the permeability of your gut. I mean, you could talk about the way that it's expressed in the body and how the antibodies start attacking everything based on that. Even sometimes hyperthyroidism becomes a problem because it doesn't understand the difference between the gluten in your body and your thyroid wall. I mean, that's how scary it can be. The other thing is, like I said, gluten means glue, okay? Its job is to literally break down things as well as stick it together. So what my studies have shown me thus far is that one dose of gluten stays in a healthy gut for 14 to 21 days. If you're not breaking that down fast enough, it's staying in even longer. And most people don't eat gluten once every 14 to 21
Definitely not.
days, right? So the more you're putting it in your body, the more it's sitting there. So for me, I am not celiac. I am not gluten intolerant, but I don't touch it, right? And my daughters don't touch it. Any of my clients don't touch it. Now, what I find interesting is this. My clients that say, well, because you know, you get that argument when you start telling people they shouldn't eat gluten. Well, I'm not celiac. I'm not gluten intolerant. I'm fine. Okay, great. Let's just take it out for a little while and see what
Yeah,
happens. Well,
right.
things good start to happen. They put it back in and they,
Get
within
fired up.
15 minutes, they're like, yeah, I never should have done that. You know? So try it and see. Now I will tell you this, because I have been rehabilitating my gut even up until today for the last 8 years, because you know I'm learning now, I have like all these fast ways of doing things. I can eat anything that I want and I have zero reaction to anything. And I've other than like I said, I don't touch chicken or beef because to me it's like, well, if I know I'm sensitive to that 100%, why eat it,
Right.
right? Especially when I have 29 other animals and I'm looking to add more. So if you find out any. But
And
yeah, I think
all the other animals are almost
all
extinct, so
the
you better stay away.
other So I mean, in the long run, if you're looking to, especially if you're in a phase of needing to rehabilitate before, you know, gut health of maintaining, I would say just take it out and let your body heal.
Yeah. There's Well, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole with that. I'm not in disagreement. I think it's generally something that's extremely offensive for people, whether they acknowledge it or realize it or not. So, it's just nice to be reaffirmed from someone like you who works with people on a daily basis and is obviously so educated. So, Adrian, I guess how are you working with clients in terms of, I know you mentioned the peptides, the bioregulators. Is this something that certainly with respect to healing, with respect to longevity, how can clients work with you? How can they find out more about you?
Okay. My website, adrianmsmith.com. You can look there. I have a podcast called Die Sexy Podcast. I really try, that's fun for me because like you said, this is where you get to kind of
Yeah.
go off the walls. And I'm gonna let everyone know I'm not sticking to one topic because my brain won't allow me. Neither does the human body. Okay. And that's why I like to be so diverse in what I do, because I don't know what's walking through my door, right? And
Yeah.
if I can't help you, trust me, I will find somebody that can. But I like to at least know that there's a problem that I need to send you to someone else, right?
Yeah.
So that's a way to do it. You can look me up on Instagram, Adrienne Marie 23. But yeah, I mean, I work with everybody all over the world in all kinds of different ways, even if it's corrective body work, even from
Right.
Zoom. It's crazy the things we could do nowadays.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And so for those of you listening, if you're intrigued by what Adrienne's talking about, I'll strongly encourage you to reach out to her, schedule a consult. She obviously is very intuitive. So give her the opportunity just to get to know you a little bit and ask you some questions. And I wouldn't be surprised if she's able to literally root down into some of the issues that are probably plaguing you to help facilitate the healing process. And Adrienne, what a pleasure to have a conversation, formal conversation. Next time it's in the gym, I want to see that 185 plus RDL for 15 reps.
Oh man, are you kidding me? We're going for at least 235, 245 these
Now we're
days, buddy.
talking. I better up my game then.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yeah, cool. So, well, thanks again. It's been a pleasure, and we'll have to do this again.
Thank you so much, Ben. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you in your nutrition journey for free. One, grab a free copy of my Fat Loss Fix Guide at fatlossfixguide.com. Two, join my free group at smartnutritionmadesimple.com. Three, subscribe to my YouTube channel at smartnutritionmadesimpletv.com. Four, leave a five-star rating and positive review so that we can gain access to more nutrition experts ready to share their knowledge with you and ultimately help more people make smart nutrition simple.